invited to step back in time at Chosun Galbi. Now you can enjoy the taste of authentic Korean cuisine passed down through a 600-year-old tradition. Experience the taste 600 years in the making. Chosun Galbi.
Hello, people of the world, and welcome to the first annual, or actually the first inaugural, Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast. That is the name that we chose for this podcast, and we will be talking about many things today, hopefully some things that you might like. and first, I think, pardon my, inability.
Do you want to introduce me?
Yeah, that would probably be a great idea.
For sure. Go ahead, you can introduce yourself first.
Okay, sounds good. My name is Sky,
you may know him.
Yeah, you might know me, depending on, how big of a Clipper nerd you are. My tag name, or whatever you'd called it, my default name, what would you call that name?
On Clips Nation?
Yeah.
Your Clips Nation handle,
yeah,
maybe?
Okay, my Clips Nation handle was Cayman Homie, and I wrote a few things about Brian Skinner at one point. I still think about Brian Skinner all the time. I don't write about him nearly as much as I used to, but yeah, that's just because, I don't know, I've just been in a...
A dark place without Brian Skinner.
A dark, fucking terrible place without Brian Skinner. So yeah. And my Clipper fandom dates back to probably around 1993, 1994, whenever I entered consciousness. Ooh. Basically. I was not the most educated.
You weren't conscious before 1994.
I was not conscious, dude. No, I mean, I don't know. I just fucking, my parents were really, really into coding and stuff. And so just, you know, we had a fucking wild lifestyle for those first few years there. But at some point, I put down both those styrofoam cups and I picked up a remote control and turned on KCAL 9 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Freaking UPN or whatever. Nice. Freaking the Clippers were on then, and
you had a very Vin Baker childhood.
I had a very Vin Baker, well, I had a Vin Baker adolescence. Yeah, oh yes, I definitely had a Vin Baker childhood, for sure.
Which, getting, yeah,
absolutely, getting my sip on, yeah. But yeah, and so the reason I became a Clippers fan is because everyone in my family decided to like the Clippers before I ever existed, and so I was lucky enough to kind of ride their coattails to this magical experience as a Clipper fan. So
I actually didn't know that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So my parents had or my father and my older siblings had season tickets to the Clippers in the late 80s, early 90s in the old sports, or whatever it was called. Jesus Christ, Vegas.
Sports Arena?
The old Sports Arena,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So they had good cheap seats there. They went to a bunch of games, developed a certain affinity amongst them, and then I just hopped on.
So Sky just introduced himself.
Yo.
I'm Matt. We'll step back and talk about why we wanted to do this podcast. I think partially because we wanted to prove that there are real Clipper fans aside from Billy Crystal and Penny Marshall. And Frankie Muniz from
definitely
2001 to 2004.
Definitely.
Oh, you want to clear up the Sports Arena issue right now?
No, I don't want to clear up the Sports Arena. Well, I do want to clear up. First, I want to say, whoever named the Sports Arena, fuck you, because you did a terrible job, and the Sports Arena is such a shitty generic name that it's just not even worth. I mean, it's a crappy arena to begin with, but the fact that it has this name that just sounds like something I'm gonna build in some sort of, like, fucking...
like a junior high school.
Yes, it sounds
But like much smaller scale.
Yes, it sounds like junior high school, much smaller scale, but also it sounds like something I'm going to build in like SimCity or some sort of RPG.
That's true.
I'm going to build a sports arena and then like, hey, and yeah, and all that stuff. So I really don't like the name of that. Also, I just want to go on record as saying, fuck you, Billy Crystal, because we don't need your bandwagon ass on the Clipper fandom. I respect Penny Marshall. I respect Frankie Muniz.
Well, Penny goes both ways.
Penny does goes both ways. I'm okay with
that. I mean
that.
Sexually.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Me too.
Yeah.
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 Definitely. All right, well, dude, Penny, dude, shout out to Penny.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Penny. No, but she's a Laker fan occasionally as well.
Absolutely.
And so, whereas Billy has always just been a Clippers fan, kind of.
This is true, this is true. I choose to think of it this way, where Penny Marshall is above resentment and above above judgment. So
like
Penny,
Gandhi.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Or Jesus.
Exactly, exactly. Like a combination of
also
Gandhi.
Both Clipper fans.
Yeah,
little known fact.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus abandoned the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like right after Magic left.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. I want that to be clear.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Totally. No, Jesus is freaking, yeah. Jesus was a huge Cayman guy.
Yeah.
definitely. But Penny Marshall, I respect her ability to judge things without judgment, I guess is how I would put that. Yeah, she is capable of that. I know that sounds impossible to the rest of us, to us mere mortals, but Penny Marshall, dude, has figured out existence in a way that we can only hope. And
would you say she's in a league of her own?
I would say she's definitely in a league of her own.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, so we just wanted to prove to the national media that there are actual Clipper fans that have been around for far longer than Blake has been a Clipper, have been around far longer than the Elton and Sam years.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I'm sure, with a original Ron Harper jersey.
Absolutely. No,
that will probably not listen to this because he doesn't know how the internet works.
Absolutely. No, dude, I got excited.
But we're here. We're around.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely around. I remember getting excited about the Tyson Chandler pick for those 15 minutes prior to the Elton trade. Thinking that, the local boy might bring us something special. But,
I was so happy when that trade happened. Remember how amped we were for Andre Miller?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness, I was amped for Andre Miller. But also, that was one of my first
huge regret.
Yeah, but that a huge regret. But also, that was one of my first kind of true dilemmas as a thinker. If that makes sense in terms of there was Darius Miles, who just filled this incredible space in my life as far as somebody to look up to. Also, the Darius
you had a dunk size hole in you,
exactly,
and Darius is what. Filled that
he
void.
Filled it just, oh my goodness, that is such a great way of
Thanks.
Putting it. Yeah.
Thanks.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we were around ninth grade. I was in ninth grade in the Darius Miles years. What you were in?
I came around to the Clippers. I was actually a Laker fan, which a lot of Clipper fans of my ilk were Laker fans at some point. And I was a Kobe defector. I came around.
Absolutely.
I love the Van Exel and Sabalos. And Eddie Jones. God, I loved Eddie Jones.
Absolutely.
And then Shaq came first, and I was like, all right, whatever. And then Kobe came, and I just couldn't handle it. And at the time, the Clippers had just drafted Lamar, first edition Lamar.
Absolutely.
First edition Lamar. The Lamar who avoids eating pancakes at the post-game buffet.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, and so I got excited about Lamar, 6'10 guy, could play point. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
He had like that 34 point opening game or three. He went off for like over 30 that
Ooh.
First game. I remember, man.
Good memory.
And then from then, I just got hooked, and I was on with Darius and Q, and that was a fun team until Andre Miller ruined everything.
Totally.
So yeah, there's been a bunch of us who have been around for a while, and we wanted to make a podcast for those fans. For all, what? 250?
Yeah.
250?
I don't know about 250.
Think that's too high?
No, yeah. I mean, we'd have...
I'm including Alvin Gentry.
I would say we would... the entire Clipper fan... The true Clipper fan conglomerate would have trouble getting in trouble with the fire department. I'll tell you that much, because we would...
Oh, if we had, like, a huge house party?
Yes, exactly.
Sky is hosting.
Yes, absolutely. You're like, all invited.
Yeah.
You're all invited.
It's all BYOB.
It's BYOB, but heroin will be provided. So, yeah, just a little bit of beer.
Courtesy of Vin Baker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making a cameo appearance.
Dude, Vin hooks it up.
Crushing Vin Baker right now.
Yeah, yeah. No,
definitely. My apologies, Vin.
Nah, dude. Vin is appreciating the...
any mention at this point?
Yes, he is appreciating any mention, exactly. And publicity. This is good publicity for Vin and his heroin dealing. Vin.
His heroin game?
I see you, baby.
Shout out to the Vin Baker Barksdale crew.
Precisely. But, long story short, going back to moral dilemmas or dilemmas in general.
Okay.
Between Darius Miles and Andre Miller.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I felt like that really struck me at a unique part of my life where I had to kind of choose between a serious existence and a kind of a playful existence. You know, ninth grade is like, am I going to freaking do my homework and go to college, or am I just going to freaking smoke and have a great time with all these other ninth through 12th graders? Mm-hmm. Sadly, I chose the Andre Miller existence, personally.
That's the worst of all existences.
Exactly. Yes, exactly, it was.
Well, that's no fun ever.
No fun ever. I decided upon no fun ever. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Decided to be mean to old people, mean to young people, and just generally be miserable. And then just...
You have to go to Utah for college?
Yeah. I went to Utah.
Rick Majerus eats your snacks.
But freaking early on, we had to choose between Darius and Andre. And Darius presented a future of fun, a future of kind of standing up on the scorer's table after the last game of the season and waving some sort of towel in a North Carolina helicopter way. That is a inside joke for all you PD Pablo fans out there. Exactly. There you go. Nice, dude. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
So there was that choice of you know, head banging. This is where I wish we had a video on the podcast. You know, where they took their two fists and banged them against their foreheads. That looks a lot cooler than it sounds. Basically, is what I learned right there. So there was that, and we loved that, and I wanted more of that. But also, Andre Miller just offered a new seriousness to Clippers, a new we're actually going to win, we're actually going to have somebody who knows how to play basketball, and we'll just do things the right way.
Yeah, it was all lies.
Yeah, it was all lies.
It was all lies. And that was one of the worst. That was one of the worst seasons. That could be a segment later.
Yeah.
Top five worst seasons.
Man, that's a great segment. Yeah. I mean, so many to choose from.
Yeah, there'd be quite the selection.
Yeah, man. No shortage of disappointment.
So the way we're going to structure this is we do have actual segments. We're trying to make this funny.
Yeah.
Right now, there's an endless number of comments. Somebody right now is writing, this is not funny.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Yeah,
again.
And they're right. Yeah, for sure. But we will strive to prove that person wrong or to win you over in the next, in the future.
Yeah.
For sure.
We could start by Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast was by far the best name we could come up with, but we want to read to you the other names that we possibly threw out there before we settled on Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast.
Definitely.
And we might change Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have no allegiance to Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast.
Yeah, we have allegiance to Swaggy P.
We have crazy allegiance to Swaggy P.
Yeah, we'll forever down with Swaggy P for Game 1 of the Memphis series.
Oh, my allegiance to Swaggy P is the only reason I carry weapons with me at all times. Because, just, you know, when I hear somebody talking some sort of anything that could be construed as negative... about Nick Young. I feel like, you know, I need to brandish something and really show them that Nick Young has supporters out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But anyway, so that's a warning to all you fucking Nick Young haters out there, first and foremost. But now we're going to hear what else we thought of naming this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to take turns?
Yeah, turns sounds great.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to start off. Cherokee Parks and Recreation.
Cherokee Parks and Recreation. That's a great name.
Thanks.
Yeah. Dan Dickow's Crack House. was another option.
Yeah, but that was actually already taken. Dan mm-hmm. Dickow does have a legally registered crack house down on Figueroa, I mm-hmm. think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. For sure. But just in case you guys want to know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Fig and 3rd.
Yeah. It's right by Chosun Galbi.
Mm,
yeah, they're right next door to each other. Chosun Galbi, a featured sponsor of this podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely.
6,000 years.
Yeah, 6,000 years.
They've been on that spot on Figueroa for 6,000 years of authentic Korean cuisine.
Authentic Korean barbecue, authentic Korean kimchi, just everything you could want in a Korean delicatessen. And when I say delicatessen, I just mean the delicacies of Korea. Just at your fingertips in Los Angeles. Can you believe it, people? Freaking, I'm excited to, yes.
What's your favorite Chosun Galbi dish, Scott?
Dude, that is a tough.
That's the toughest question, I think.
That is the toughest question facing humanity today. Because there are so many choices and so many dishes. But I would have to go with the Sewu Gui, the black tiger shrimp chef. I won't say his name on such a public in such a public domain because, you know, he's got heat in the streets. The Sewu Gui, the black tiger shrimp, just grilled to perfection, seared to perfection, baked to perfection. However you like your black tiger shrimp, they will fucking deliver it in a whatever kind of plate you like. I mean, big one, small one, round one, square one.
That's one of the things I think that's underestimated about Chosun, is you can, any type of plate that you want,
mm-hmm.
they'll put it on that plate.
So any type.
Yeah, pretty much any. So if you want to eat off that championship trophy that they give at Wimbledon,
mm-hmm.
they will make that for you.
Yeah, no, they force you to redefine plate in your life. You know, I mean, I know...
You ask a lot of questions afterwards, actually. I forgot who I was when I was eating there.
Oh, my goodness. I still don't remember who I am, dude. I mean, I'm pretty sure I like the Clippers, and, you know, I'm sticking with this, this story, but... But yeah, no, but Chosun really just...
Fundamentally changes you, like a terrible sexual experience, I would say.
Oh my goodness, like a terrible, terrible sexual experience.
But delicious.
Yeah, definitely, all right. Yeah.
Chosun.
Yeah, that should be their slogan, a terrible sexual experience that is strangely delicious. But again, I feel like that would have gotten me in there a week sooner than I went there. So, anyway, go on. Let's move on.
All right. We'll get through the rest of these names. Too many Brian Cooks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to finish it?
Yeah. Free Trey Tompkins. Always said in an exclamatory, authoritative, begging manner of sorts. Mm-hmm. Free Trey Tompkins.
They should rename Figueroa Avenue Olua Candy Lane. Which, for you true fans out there, that's not... I think we need permission from Bill Walton, because Bill Walton actually said that during a Clipper game. Do you remember that? That's where I got this from.
No, I don't remember that.
Olua Candy had like 8 points in like the first quarter or something, and Bill Walton said they should rename Figueroa Avenue Olua Candy Lane, and made a couple Wilt Chamberlain comparisons.
I see. Well, you know, I feel like that is something... I feel like Michael Olowokandi's first quarters are something that have been underappreciated in Clips Nation. Michael Olowokandi was a dominant first quarter player. An absolute, if you only watched first quarters of Clipper games circa 2000, 2001, you would have been very excited about their low post future. Because Michael Olowokandi absolutely had some dominant first quarters. He matched up, I remember I would always, basically, I hate to say it, but the games of my childhood that stay with me are the Lakers and Clippers games. And I really remember Olowokandi banging against Shaq and having some success in the first quarter, and then the last three quarters belonged to Shaq. That's when, like, he would go for 60.
I remember that.
But yeah, but Olowokandi had success. McGetty had some success against the Lakers, as I'm sure you remember.
Yeah.
And
guarding Kobe.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they had a duel.
Back and forth. Yeah.
But Olowokandi was a tremendous failure. But in some first quarters, I swear that guy gave us some good first quarters. So thank you, Michael Olowokandi.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the only recorded defense in the history of Michael Olowokandi post
You're probably
post 2000,
right.
Maybe.
You're probably right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, people piled on the piled on Mike. Yeah, exactly.
Pile on Mike. Yeah.
Pile on, they piled on him, but no, Mike had some moves, dude. There was a reason he went first overall. It wasn't complete.
Nope, there wasn't. Yeah, there was no reason whatsoever. Right,
no good reason. Definitely.
Well,
no
Elgin reason. Baylor was on PCP.
Yeah.
Elgin Baylor was wet as fuck.
Yeah.
That was the reason Ola Candy went first.
I see.
And also the reason for his sweater collection.
Exactly, yeah. No, I was going to say, Michael Ola Candy's grandma must have made fucking knit some incredible sweaters because fucking they went Elgin's way because that must, yeah, that's the only real explanation we have. But no, Michael Ola Candy first quarter, I liked his style. I just think he stopped caring after that first quarter.
All right, let's stop talking about Michael Ola Candy's first quarter. All right, fine. Let me finish quickly with my crap. I didn't say like my Clips Nation handle.
Oh my goodness.
Tragedy of Quinn Ross is my Clips Nation handle.
Wonderful.
I wrote an application for Clipper fanhood, which blew up Clips Nation for a little while. Thank you guys.
Went green.
It went green. Which really honestly is one of the top five proudest accomplishments that I've had.
It's got to be three, guys. It's just got to be three. but, yeah.
All right. So, we've talked a lot about Clipper past, Clipper history, which Chris Paul was so proud of in his first press conference.
So much history here, guys. So much history among the 10 of us.
Who remember?
Yes.
Oh, finally, the last good Clipper name, Thoughts on Vought.
Yes. Thoughts on Vought.
Which was... I'm actually coming around to that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
I was a fan of that. Thoughts on Vought. That's a, yeah.
Lloyd Vought reference for those who don't.
Exactly.
For those who don't remember.
Yeah, shout out to Lloyd Vought.
Huge. He was part of the Vin Baker crew, right?
No. He
proceeded. Oh, rival?
Yeah, no, you're going to give me. Years before, actually.
Oh, no. I mean Lloyd Vought currently is dealing heroin with Vin Baker.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's be clear. Lloyd Vought was way before I was a Clipper fan.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, totally.
The Larry Brown teams, right?
Yes.
Lloyd Vought was on the Larry Brown teams.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, Lloyd Vought is from when I was not paying attention to who was the coach at all because I thought that was not important.
Yes, but as we know now, incredibly important.
Yes.
Who coaches the team.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But Lloyd Vought and his mid-range jumper and his rebounding will be remembered.
By no one.
By no one, but I'll pretend that I remember it for sure, for just to feel cool in my own weird reality.
Moving on to this season, which we're recording this right before the Lakers preseason game.
Right before,
which I'm DVRing. Don't worry about it. We wanted to share our five things that both of us are looking forward to for the second season of the Caron Butler era.
Hell yeah, the Caron Butler era.
As it will be known.
as it will definitely be known.
In Clipper lore. Please stay, Chris Paul.
Thanks.
Please stay.
Yeah, we'd be cool with that.
Yeah,
sure.
We'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Please stay.
Yeah, please. Pretty please.
Do you want to go first, or I can go first?
I think you should go first.
All right. These are five things that we're very much looking forward to in the upcoming Clipper season. The natural and brewing sexual chemistry between Caron Butler and Christina Pink, the new Clippers sideline reporter, who I think actually so far has done a pretty good job.
You know
what I've seen in the exhibition games. I like her.
I do like her. I think I mean
oh,
I like
no.
her.
What are you about to say?
I think okay, this is extreme nitpicking. This is what I do. I like to nitpick. However, she always breaks in, or at least in the first couple games, she always breaks in with a hey. And she says, hey, and then she says whatever she's about to say.
Uh-huh.
There's something kind of casual about hey, and there's something kind of strange in the way she delivers the hey and saying hey to Ralph. I know this seems kind of strange, but...
That seems very specific, Scott.
Yes, it does, it does. But it gets me off on the wrong foot, I'm not gonna lie. After that, God dang it, alright, I'm gonna reveal myself to be somewhat of a weirdo in my study of Christina Pink after only 2 days. I'm really sorry to do this, but her mouth is incredibly expressive. It opens very, very wide, and it just kind of reminds me of a cartoon character of sorts. And her
getting mean.
Yes, it is getting mean, but it's true. At least it's my. I mean, yes. I look, when we watch the new Clipper sideline reporter, are you strictly interested in the questions that she has, you know, the hard-hitting questions she has, or the incredible insight she has and or he has into the Clippers current
chief, mindset.
Current mindset, yes. Yeah. I'm not really interested in that. I end up kind of reverting to a more simplistic view of this person and kind mm-hmm. of how they act. So I will say Christina Pink goes very heavy on the blush.
Come on.
Yeah. I know. This is harsh, but you will notice
For the record, Sky has on his wallpaper, it's just a tiled portrait of Dane Blanton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sky's a huge Dane Blanton fan.
Absolutely.
A little disturbingly so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, whenever we're at games together, all he does is shout, Dane, Dane, mm-hmm. Dane, mm-hmm. Dane, mm-hmm. Dane, mm-hmm. Dane, Dane,
Dane, Dane, Dane, Dane. Anyway, so I'm a big Dane Bland fan. I really feel like there's no reason not to be. I feel like Dane just did not get the credit he deserved. He mumbled a little bit. He didn't, you know, I mean. But the simple fact is that Dane is in so much better shape than you realize, and Dane's biceps are just incredible. This is one thing I can attest to. But I feel like the rest of Clipper Nation just doesn't realize, and you know, I'm okay if our sideline reporter has the greatest biceps of all sideline reporter. I feel like that's good enough for me, man. You
yeah.
Know? Like
yeah.
What other category?
Suck on that, Mark Stein.
Yeah, fuck you, Mark Stein, dude. Honestly, whatever. Freaking yeah, dude.
What's the blonde guy from ESPN? He's always doing the from San Francisco. He's always doing the sideline when he's trying to interview Popovich.
Mm. Oh, Rick Bucher.
Yeah, fuck you, Bucher.
No, Rick Bucher has
Dane
better hair.
Dane would kick your ass.
Yeah, no, freaking Bucher has better hair, but freaking Blanton has better body, dog. No doubt.
You don't know what Blanton's hair might look like if he grew it out a little
bit. That's true. If
Blanton does have great hair.
If Blanton took a suggestion from Matt Barnes, he could just completely, honestly, if Dane Blanton employed Matt Barnes as his personal stylist oh my
yeah.
God, Blanton's look would just go to the next level. But yeah, so I'm a big Dane Blanton fan, so I'm going to nitpick with anybody they used to replace him.
Also, obviously,
but Christina Pink,
I was talking about sexual chemistry. The sexual chemistry between Randy Foy and Dane Blanton will never be matched.
Never be matched.
No, that just left off screen. It was like 9.5 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Every post-game interview.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It was almost unbearable watching them together.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't. I almost had to pause. I almost had to pause my DVR, if you know what I'm saying. But the sexual chemistry between Karan and Christina, I really think that's a great observation. I really think that there's something, I could really see that exploding in a weird way, even though I've never seen them together. So that shows that you made a good-ass observation.
Thank you, Scar.
No doubt.
Second on my list, Eric Bledsoe, who Sky has characterized as the poor man's Jeff McGinnis.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bledsoe skying for a offensive rebound over Dwight Howard, which the Eric Bledsoe offensive rebound is one of the joys of Clipper fandom that only real Clipper fans know, is watching the guy is what he's listed at what 6'1".
Absolutely.
I mean, and he's really, like secretly 5'2".
Yes.
Built mean, like I, a truck.
Yeah. I mean,
jumping
I wish,
over 7-footers.
I'm not gonna lie.
To get the offensive rebound.
Yeah. No,
all right, go ahead. What are you about to say?
That's a very apt description of watching Eric Bledsoe do his thing. It's, mm-hmm. it's a wonderful thing. But I kind of wish you hadn't brought up Jeff McGinnis, just because that reminds me of what a point guard can be.
Oh,
you know.
God.
And so I'm just lying to you. I do not miss the Jeff McGinnis days. Eric Bledsoe offensive rebound is incredible. His nose for the ball is incredible. His hands are incredible. I really love watching that guy get after it and just. I will say this. I enjoy being a hater of Eric Bledsoe. I'm sorry. I do enjoy hating Eric Bledsoe, just because everybody loves him so much and just because he has this certain
number. About are you ready to move on?
Darn it! Yeah, we can. I'm sorry. I love to hear myself talk a little bit too much.
I'm not saying that. I've heard the Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, totally.
Enough today, at least.
Yeah, totally. Bledsoe overrated, though, for sure. Overrated.
I'm with you, Mini LeBron. All right. Number three, Mo Williams and or Randy Foy popping for 40 against us in Utah. Now, let me explain. I'm accepting this as an inevitability. This is what happens when the Clippers release or trade or whatever, get rid of a player. Inevitably, we get fucked over by that player, especially in Utah, where miraculously we won last year for the first time since Chosun Galbi opened 6,000 years ago.
Oh.
I think it was 600,000 years ago.
600,000. Absolutely. Another, yeah. On another. Absolutely.
On on Patagonia. Star.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the ABA days, I think that's but I still love Mo. I think there are a lot of Clipper fans that still love Mo. Randy maybe a little less so. But instead of pretending like it's not going to happen and being in denial, I'm choosing to embrace the fact that they're going to pop off against us now.
Absolutely.
You see? Okay.
I think you've really reached an intelligent place as a Clipper fan. to really take a new approach to viewing that Clippers Jazz Utah game, and just and embracing the terrible kind of that will probably accompany that trip to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, if I had to choose, I would definitely think Mo had a better chance of popping off against us. I feel like Randy, I don't know, I felt like Randy had a soft spot for the Clippers. I really did. I felt like Randy kind of found his home with the Clippers. In a very strange way.
He did not.
I really feel like Randy doesn't realize that he was the weak link of that starting lineup and thinks that he was really part of something beautiful right there, and thought that, you know, and he sort of did fill a necessary void and fill a gap in a really wonderful way, but just not in a good enough way.
Well, he was, the year before David Stern, peace be upon him, praise the Stern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hail David Stern.
All hail David Stern. The year before he handed us CP3, Randy played well.
He got off to a rough start.
Yeah, a rough start, but he had a stretch when we were on the road. The first year we had Blake and Gordon was hurt, like he always was. Randy played very well in that two-guard scorer-slasher role.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and we were like, shit, Randy can play. And so the year after was a fairly big disappointment.
Mm. Yes.
When Randy really couldn't play that much.
Yeah,
except for that Dallas game.
You know, I don't completely agree. I do feel like Randy did.
For the record, Sky is saying that he would rather the Clippers trade Eric Bledsoe away instantly.
Yeah,
nothing.
You've already sold me. Yeah. For sure. Now, air is going to become a commodity, dude. Water, for sure. Like, freaking, I would... Yeah,
and retain, what, sign Randy to max deal? A super max deal?
Super max deal, if that was possible. Just give Randy Foy the keys to the bill of the Staples Center. And just,
keys to the Kia?
Yeah, keys to the Kia, no doubt. I had a soft spot for Randy Foy, absolutely. Just anybody who says all the right things in the interviews, anybody who says nice things about being a part of the team. I am a big sap, basically. So I apologize to those of you who are not, but...
Number four, I'm looking forward to the return of Reggie and the chance that I believe Clipper fans will reward him with once he subs in for Chris Humphreys after Chris Humphreys and Blake Griffin get in a huge fight because they hate each other, because they look alike.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
but I believe, I'm really hoping that Clipper fans actually chant his name. He deserves it.
I definitely agree he deserves it. I don't know if Clipper fans are quite drunk enough at that point in the game to get behind a Reggie chant in a meaningless regular season game.
See, we were arguing about this earlier, and I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I think it's going to happen.
Believe me, I
hope. But it depends a lot on when Reggie checks into the game.
Yeah. I hope so. You know, it's one of those things where if I was there at that game, I would not be starting the Reggie chant. Don't get me wrong. I would not be the first person saying, Reggie, Reggie, just waiting for people just like to join me. But yes, I really hope it happens.
This guy is Clipper Daryl, by the way. I don't think we're going to get sued by Clipper Daryl.
It's okay. I've already been sued by Clipper Daryl. Fucking, God damn it. I want to make some sort of car upholstery joke, right?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, man.
I won't do it.
Don't do it. All right. It's a bad idea.
Clipper Daryl, dude, thank you for your enthusiasm.
and to the Clipper front office, we would love free season tickets.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, if that'd you could just great. throw that to us.
No doubt. You know, I got a freaking red and blue suit, Doug. Freaking, I will throw that. I will throw that on.
It is. It's his funeral suit.
Mm-hmm. 700 thread count.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But
do you want to give your list?
I would love to give my list.
Okay, this is the list of what Sky is most looking forward to for the Chris Paul Clippers season
this,
2.
This is what me and you are looking forward to, I think. So, first and foremost, I'm looking forward to Jamal Crawford dribbling. I just want to see him dribble in awesome ways. The entire year. He just has some incredible handles, and yeah, he's way better at bouncing spheres than I am, dude. It's fucking crazy.
No disagreement.
No doubt. No doubt. The second thing I'm looking forward to is DeAndre Jordan getting really mad about something at some point. Yeah, I just want him to get really mad and kind of get in like a pushing war with somebody from another team. I just want to see that other side of DeAndre.
Oh, you're not talking about DeAndre, the ball went off my fingers for a defensive rebound on 70 consecutive possessions, mad.
No.
You want to see DeAndre, like, get in a fight.
Yeah, I mean, well, not a fight.
Something we really haven't seen.
Yeah, I really just want to see a shove, I think, is what I want to see. I want to see some other, you know, some bench player, some bench big guy. Just kind of looking to kind of start a scruff of or something to somebody.
What about a Protect Blake?
I don't think a Protect Blake shove is happening for the same reason that Reggie wasn't wanting to protect Blake of sorts. You know, Blake is his own man, and I think kind of DeAndre feels like, although DeAndre does kind of seem to latch on to Blake in a certain way, I don't think DeAndre feels that necessity to protect Blake. And I also think the dynamics of DeAndre and Blake's friendship is kind of unique. I kind of wanted to discuss this a little bit, actually, because number three thing I'm looking forward to is Blake and DeAndre's first public, we've been spending too much time together, friend feud. So I just think at some point they're just going to, you know, it's like, it's hard to explain, but, you know, sometimes you have a really good friend, somebody you spend a lot of time with, and then you go hang out with your other friends, and it almost seems like you like your other friends more. Because, like, you don't really see them as much, you know, like, you have more fresh things, you don't have any, like, resentment built up, you know, you see the same person over and over every day.
Is there something you want to tell me directly, Scott?
There is, but after the podcast, definitely, but I just think that'll be more proper, but yeah, I really think that, yeah, I really think that Blake and DeAndre have, give us an opportunity to view friendship in a professional sports level, something that we might be able to kind of understand, you know, in our own personal lives, they show it to us.
This is interesting. Do Blake and DeAndre have the best friendship in the NBA? Can you think of a better friendship?
Very, very difficult to say.
I'm going through, what, LeBron and Wade?
Yeah, I would say.
But that's like an older man, like we go golfing, we enjoy the same adult entertainment.
Yeah, they both have families.
Yeah, that is a different.
Very different. Blake and DeAndre still single. Blake and DeAndre still, over the offseason, have those free Friday, Saturday nights where they're supposed to get together and, like, do their thing as single professional ball
players. Do you think Darius and Quentin were more homies than Blake and DeAndre?
Most definitely. Absolutely. Just because there was a certain equality in their relationship that I don't think DeAndre and Blake can ever really have. And it must be strange being DeAndre and hanging out with Blake because DeAndre, I'm sure, has been the guy his entire life, for the most part, his entire life. You know, I mean, growing up, I'm sure
he was like the seventh option at Texas A&M.
I see. Yeah. But at least up until he was 18, I'm sure
In high school, he was like the fourth option.
He was the fourth option.
Yeah, he was 7 feet tall.
I see.
Still the fourth option.
I think you
still working on that right hand hook.
Based on the Texas A&M truce that you have laid upon us, you might not. you might be right. So you might be right. Mm-hmm. But I just think I really think there's an interesting dynamic in the Blake DeAndre.
It is interesting.
The Blake DeAndre relationship. And I'm kind of, and just in the way they celebrate, even at the end of that Memphis, the Memphis Clippers game one, their embrace, DeAndre hugged Blake.
Hey, do you want to pause for a fuck you Memphis moment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck you, Memphis. Yes.
You fucking dirty plane bastards, dude. We weren't flopping.
When we fucking beat you.
Beat the shit out of you.
We fucking destroyed you.
We beat you once. We went up like game one. That was pretty much beating you. Going up 3-1. That was
also,
much
I want to sincerely thank Rudy Gay for sucking ass the Absolutely. Entire series.
That was a really
Kenyon cool. Martin, who is 77 years old, mm-hmm. served in Korea and Vietnam, I believe. Mm-hmm. Shut you the fuck down, Rudy.
Yeah, dude. No,
you're trash,
dude. Kenyon Martin.
God, I hate Memphis.
Absolutely, Kenyon Martin's Army Medal, Army Medal showcase is quite
it's ridiculous.
Quite the sight.
Ridiculous,
but. But yeah, no, fuck you, Memphis. Blues in general, over an overrated genre. I'm not
yeah,
gonna lie.
Your barbecue is shit.
Your barbecue.
Texas barbecue is better.
Yeah, dude.
Tex-Mex is better.
Absolutely.
What, St. Louis barbecue is better?
I mean,
pretty much any type of barbecue is better than Memphis barbecue.
We could be here all day fucking talking about what kind of barbecue
we should
is
do
better.
That.
You know what barbecue is way better, though?
Could it be a barbecue that's been 600 million years in the making?
600 million years in the making. Yeah, a little small little freaking mom and pop joint
yep.
called Chosan Galbi. And yeah, probably worth driving.
There's no Chosan Galbis in Memphis.
Yeah, dude.
I'll tell you that.
Oh my god, definitely not.
Yep.
Definitely not that. They don't have the taste for that.
Fuck you, Memphis.
Yeah, fuck you, Memphis. Alright. The fourth thing I'm looking forward to this year is who will be the Clipper scapegoat.
You know, oh, that's easy.
I mean, Vinny...
Del Negro, yeah.
Maybe Vinny, but, you know, I'm not sure. I do feel like Vinny's gained some steam recently.
What?
I feel like Vinny's gained some steam. I feel like...
Oh, by the way, that's our other sponsor, which is Vinny Del Negro's personal line of members-only suits,
mm-hmm.
Which he wears to every game.
Yeah, we're both wearing them right now. They're very, very comfortable.
Pure velour.
Definitely.
All right, what's number five here?
Well, number five...
Oh, sorry. What were the other scapegoats?
Oh, no quickly. Problem. Possible scapegoats. You know, I mean, Willie Green, definitely an early option.
These two insignificant.
Jason Powell, always a possibility as a Clipper scapegoat because you people somehow find a way to blame some completely, unimportant part of the team. Who else? I guess DeAndre
Chauncey.
Chauncey, yes.
Once Chauncey starts chucking.
Absolutely, chucking. Yeah, Chauncey is a huge
chucker.
Chucking
Chauncey.
Absolutely.
Chauncey chuckers.
Absolutely. And, maybe the Ryan Hollins, Roni Turioff front court could present some problems. Caron. If Caron decides
to shoot.
He won't be a scapegoat. Yeah, that's true. Caron stays in the shadows in a way that...
Yeah, good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Cannot grab the spotlight no matter what. Nobody notices Karan. A very interesting phenomenon we got going with that.
Your last? Do you have one more? Is that?
Yeah, my last one is the possibility of a Chris Paul sex scandal.
I forgot about this one.
Yeah, I mean we're thinking. Chris Paul, and just because I've never heard anyone say the slightest negative thing about Chris Paul, so he does possibly fit into a Tiger Woods type mold, might be more there than we realize, and
The record, let us both say that we embrace anything that Chris Paul is associated with at all.
Absolutely.
If Chris Paul tomorrow said, I'm voting for Romney,
we
would both vote for Romney.
Absolutely.
If Chris Paul tomorrow said, Vinny Del Negro should be our coach for the next 6,000 years.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't know where I got that number from.
Me neither.
we would both say, fine, whatever Chris Paul wants.
Yeah. No, I would.
That's
pretty,
okay.
Yeah.
So if Chris Paul got involved in a sex scandal, we would love it.
I would more than love it. I would really support Chris in any decision he makes to do whatever he wants. You know, he has one life to live, and I hope he lives it in a wonderfully... happy sexual way, or however he finds his happiness. I will stay supportive of Chris no matter what. But the juicier, I would love to hear something a little bit juicy about Chris Paul. I'm not gonna lie, it would. I think we all would. It would just, it would be fun.
I think I just thought of a new segment. The pitches for Chris Paul to stay, which I think we should do every podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think I like that too.
Okay. Totally. Can I go first?
Yeah, for sure.
Chris Paul, I have a Groupon to a spa and massage place in Santa Monica. 49% off.
Damn.
I don't really know the other details of it. It expires in 2 months. I will give that to you if you stay here another year.
Dude.
I'll give it to you if you stay another fucking day, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. But 5 years would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, massages are great.
Yeah.
Freaking masseuse, yeah. Masseuses sometimes know what they're doing.
Yeah, you got that knee, you got that ham. Memphis tried to stab you. Mm-hmm. There are those stab wounds that mm-hmm. Zach Randolph shot you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
No, and you just played through that shit.
No, Memphis assaulted your deep tissue, dude. They assaulted your deep tissue, and now you need someone else to assault your deep tissue in a more friendly way, in a more supportive way.
Yeah. Get in there, Swedish.
Yeah, exactly. No, shiatsu, dude. Freaking got your name all over it, Chris.
What do you have for Chris?
My pitch is for Chris. Chris obviously belongs in Hollywood, as he knows and as Donald Sterling knows.
reference.
But, hey, just a little one. My pitch for Chris Paul, I would say, is just nobody to dethrone you of sorts. Blake seems to be okay with having you lead the troops, and he will take care of bruising and dunking and such. So, I really think that the Clippers give you an opportunity to hold the throne, really have your own team, but also have a lot of talent around you. So that's the realistic answer. I'm sorry to go so boring and real, but Chris, keep it moving, dog.
Groupon!
Groupons. I also got some Groupons for you, fucking some yoga classes or some shit. It will be
experience. Offer number two, Benito's Taco Shop on Santa Monica, shout out. Carne asada fries on me, Chris.
Totally.
Nice.
Also,
we're splitting it. I'm not letting you have the whole thing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way. It's from the top, especially like the top layer.
Yeah.
Particularly split.
Definitely all the diced tomatoes and onions.
Definitely, Chris, I think have respect for sharing in that sense. Also, Chris, I just feel like, I will do absolutely anything.
Yeah, we'll fucking murder somebody. Yeah, we don't care. Seriously, dude.
No, I really can't think of, a possibility that I would not do. At least I'll try it.
Literally. We will do anything.
Anything.
Please. Okay.
All right.
You want to skip to our serious moment on Matt Barnes?
Definitely.
So, I think a debate that Clipper Nation has been having, Clipper Nation in general, and the individual Clipper fan internally, like Hamlet, is whether you can fucking root for Matt Barnes. Is, to provide some context, right? Matt Barnes has, especially last year, verbally talk shit on the Clippers, mm-hmm. basically called us soft.
Yeah.
Essentially called us soft. Singled out Blake.
Yeah, he said it. Yeah, he said it couldn't be a rivalry until the Clippers won some championships. Yeah. And that's just a silly
comparison.
Slash, we're not talking about the last 50 years. We're just talking about right now. So that was a very silly thing of Matt to say, I thought.
Yep. Yeah. And got in some physical shit during the exhibition games, if I remember right, and maybe during the regular season, too. Oh,
yeah, no. Matt Barnes definitely searching for conflict, no doubt.
Yeah. But. So the question is whether now he's a Clipper because Chris Paul runs our front office, which we're totally down with.
Totally fine with.
Love it.
Doing a great job, Chris.
Raise ticket prices. We don't give a fuck, Chris. Oh, whatever.
Man. Hike him up. I don't even need to go anyways, dude. It's all good. Ralph, Mike, you're doing a great job.
And if Chris wanted to fire Ralph and Mike, that's fine.
No, I don't even give a fuck about Ralph and Mike. Yeah, for sure. Ralph and who?
Chris Paul, in his infinite wisdom, decided to sign Matt Barnes. And now Matt Barnes will get, real PT.
Yeah.
And personally,
I've decided to fully embrace Matt Barnes. You know, just because I just want to beat myself to the punch. You know, I know that I'm going to come in hesitant and just think that, you know, Matt Barnes. And then, you know, like, you know, I don't want to go through half the season and realize that I like Matt Barnes and then argue with my previous self. You know, so I'm just embracing Matt Barnes from the get-go.
Yeah.
I really think that he's one of those guys in the same way that that Kenyon Martin and Marcus Camby and Reggie Evans I'm not saying he's going to live up to those guys, but in the same way that they kind of made me appreciate them in a way that I never was able to when they were on other teams, I'm assuming Matt Barnes will do the same thing. I think he has incredible hair also. Matt Barnes might not always come to play, but Matt Barnes' hair always comes to play. Matt Barnes might come off the bench, but his hair is starter quality, all-star quality, actually. So basically, I love Matt Barnes, and also his Instagram's pretty cool, too. So I'm new to the Instagram game, but Matt Barnes has a cool Instagram, so that makes me like him as well.
Okay, so I think the obvious comparison here is with Reggie, right? Because of the Reggie came in proctology incident. And when Reggie first came over, I objected. I was like, oh, I can't root for this guy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But the difference is, Reggie never talks shit.
Okay.
Number one, I'm enumerating again. Mm-hmm. Reggie never talks shit, okay. Which matters to me.
Okay.
Because in the heat of the moment, hold on.
All right.
Well, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, we love it when the Clippers talk shit about other people.
Yes.
So as soon as Matt Barnes says some bullshit about the Lakers this year, as soon as Matt Barnes starts talking shit about all those people you hate, you're going to love Matt Barnes.
Fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, number one, Reggie never talks shit.
Okay.
Number two, Reggie did that type of shit to everybody. It wasn't specifically at Kamen. Okay. It was just Kamen, Chris happened to be there.
Dude,
and also, who wouldn't love to touch Chris's nuts, right?
Exactly, man. I've dreamed of that moment my entire life. All I wanted to do was freaking... I mean, I'm so curious, it's crazy. So, yeah. Reggie, man, I get it, dog. I get it. It's all good.
Number three, Reggie was fucking good.
Reggie was
and
awesome.
In many respects, won us the Memphis series.
Mm-hmm. In pretty much every respect.
Yeah, in pretty much every respect.
Yeah.
Except for Swaggy. Swaggy in game one. Yeah. And Chris.
Hey, Chris.
But yeah, whereas Matt Barnes is not good. He's not good at basketball. Mm. He's good at back cuts. Yeah. He would be great at Princeton in 1997.
Yeah, oh man.
He would dominate.
He would be incredible in Princeton in 1997.
Yeah,
that's a good
which
point.
Is funny because he went to UCLA.
No, he underachieved at UCLA, but he stayed a while. But
well, he didn't underachieve, he just sucked.
I see.
He just always sucked. So anyway,
I mean,
yeah, that's my argument. I really hope, and also the reality show shit. The reality show shit bothers me.
We've all made mistakes, and Matt Barnes is no longer wanting to do the reality show, so he's moved on from that as well. But also if somebody pitched us a reality show, if somebody came up to me tomorrow and said, "Do you want to be on a reality show?" I would probably say yes. The stupid part.
If you're already making millions of dollars as a professional athlete,
and I have the self confidence that Matt Barnes
that Matt Barnes' hair has,
yes, and Matt Barnes' hair does, yes, then I totally would, yeah,
no. Anyway, I believe I settled that, which is self-respecting Clipper fans can and should not root for Matt Barnes.
Well, I can't,
argument
I,
one.
Yeah, I can't speak.
Thank you.
I can't speak for self-respecting Clipper fans. However, Matt Barnes, I fully plan on just Matt on loving, and yeah, I mean, I'll write. I mean, I just feel like I'll write more poetry this year because of Matt Barnes than I would have otherwise, and so I thank him for that.
By the way, Chris Paul, if you want me to like Matt Barnes, I'll like Matt Barnes.
Oh, he'll love Matt Barnes.
I will fucking do it. I'll buy a Matt Barnes jersey. I'll probably have to make my own, I would think.
No, yeah. So he's touching himself to a Matt Barnes photo as we speak, people. So, don't worry.
Please stay, Chris. Oh, now's the time in our show where we talk about possibly the most beautiful, intelligent... whip smart, witty, talented, silky smooth skin,
oh man, just
beautiful hair.
Yeah, no, just effervescent personality.
Yeah, the definition of bootylicious, I believe.
Yeah, oh, her booty is palatial, dog. Honestly, your booty is palatial, Madeline.
You ruined it. It was supposed to be a surprise.
I mean, I think that was a surprise still. So it's okay. I just beat you. I just got to be the one to deliver supplies. Surprise. So I'm okay.
Oh, Lord.
I'm okay with that.
One Miss Madeline Burke. We need music for this.
Yeah.
let's harmonize Madeline.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I can.
You can.
Madeline.
Okay, I'll go high. Okay, ready? Like maybe like a Commodore's type. Okay, ready?
Ooh, okay, I don't know if I got that smoothness.
Madeline. Way. Something like that? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Madeline. That's not alright.
Yeah, that was alright. Alright.
We could do better, Madeline.
Definitely. Definitely. Just need some time.
So this is the part where we each pitch our ideal date with the most beautiful woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline Burke.
If you want a limit to the world, yeah.
You or me. I'm happy to do.
I would love if you went first.
Okay, so I will start off in the mid-morning. About 10:30 a.m. I pick you up at where you live, which is the Clippers practice facility. Not many people know that. She lives, she just sleeps on the court there.
Absolutely.
I'll make you breakfast. I'm making an omelet, Colorado omelet.
Colorado.
You can take a picture of it. We'll tweet it. We'll Instagram it. We'll Facebook it. I'll have a carrier pigeon take it, send it out to different people.
Absolutely.
Everyone in the world will know that I'm cooking you breakfast, Madeline.
Mm-hmm. No, mad publicity with this breakfast, dog.
Mad publicity. That's a great pun for Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take out a Civil War era camera. And I would ask you a series of cute, innocent questions,
mm-hmm.
mostly about your health,
yeah,
and how your rehab's going.
Absolutely. Matt, oh man, and Matt has just a delightful giggle also. I really think Madeline would eat it up.
Yep, do about 10 minutes of that. We'll post it on every conceivable medium ever. Then I think we'll probably go out, and walk along the beach for a little bit, put on some sunscreen for you. I'm fairly, Mediterranean skinned, so I don't need that, Madeline. I'm just letting you know.
Definitely, no. This is a selfless act for him, just for you, Madeline.
We won't talk during the date. We'll just tweet to each other. Mm-hmm. I know that's what you're comfortable with.
Definitely.
And then I think we go out for drinks with Blake and DeAndre. And then I think I play Xbox with Blake and DeAndre for about 6 hours, and you hang out there.
Yeah.
And then you play Xbox with us for maybe like 15 minutes. And you enjoy it. And you enjoy it in your game, and you really want to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if things go well, we go back to the practice facility.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you ain't talking about practice, so I can, you think what I'm saying. That really sounds like a lovely day.
Madeline.
I'm somewhat offended I'm offended you haven't taken me for such a day. I'm not gonna lie. We've known each other for long enough now, and I would really enjoy every part of that day. As far as what I would do with Madeline Burke, I think the day would start at 9:45, and we start with fucking, sweet, passionate love, somewhere.
Don't let this get too graphic.
Three to 4 hours. I can't help it. I mean, we are talking about Madeline Burke, and Madeline. You know, I think we'd have a great 3 or 4 hours. Around noontime, we'd probably head over to Chosan Galbi.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for some Sewu Gui. All types of Sewu Gui, just all that, you know. Black tiger shrimp, dude. I'll be your black tiger, and we can get you some black tiger shrimp, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, after that, we'd probably head over to Sammy's Camera to buy a new camera for LAC TV, maybe something with like more than 25 pixels, and that would be great. So I think we'd get that. We'd get some we'd get some great customer service. You know, we'd really come out of there on top, get a great deal. And then we'd come back and we'd get in touch with Clipper Joe.
Oh fuck yeah! Shout out to Clipper Joe.
Shout out to Clipper
amazing.
Joe. Yeah, that stuff is pretty
Thank
good.
Thank you, Clipper Joe.
That stuff is pretty darn good, man. I really think it's awesome. And the only reason I don't say it's better is because that I wish I was a better person, basically. You make me feel bad about myself, Clipper Joe, because your stuff is too good. So that's basically my problem. But yeah, we'd get in touch with Clipper Joe. We'd get Clipper Joe and Madeline on the same wavelength, and then LACTV would be changed forever. And then I don't know. We'd probably enjoy the evening watching some Wheel of Fortune or something. Obviously DVR'd because I don't watch commercials when I watch Wheel of Fortune. And then yeah, that would be great. And aside from that, I really think that the rest would be history. You know what I'm saying? And maybe I'd do your hair, Madeline. You have great hair. I just want to touch it. It's
you want to braid it?
I want to do everything to it, man.
All right, well, there you go, Madeline.
Yeah.
If you're listening, please choose between us.
Yeah.
Because one of us, both of us really need this.
Choose both of us, really.
No. I do not want that.
Ah, man. Well, I do. So, Madeline.
That concludes our moment with Madeline segment.
Madeline.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Madeline.
By the way, I'll post this on Clips Nation, but DeAndre Jordan, little known fact, was in the Commodores, post Lionel Richie, in the 1980s. Check out the movie, the music video for the song Night Shift, which is a good song anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And DeAndre Jordan, I swear to God, is on the keys. Oh. DeAndre Jordan is playing keyboard. The guy looks exactly like fucking DeAndre. It's amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, he looks incredible. Yeah, he looks exactly like oh man, definitely looks like DeAndre. And how DeAndre would attack the white and the black.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Keyboard, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, also that song is, introducing that song fresh after talking about Madeline Berg, and just yeah. it's a little too smooth, dog. You know, so.
That song's about like dead gospel singers.
I mean. I'm into that kind of shit, dude, so...
Do you want Clipper Freestyle? World B Freestyling?
Could try it out.
Alright, let's try this.
You want to both try it?
I think you're going to be a lot better than I am.
You don't know, man. I mean, I appreciate the assumption, but we could... we don't know. You know.
So, World B Freestyling, we have... every Clipper has... agreed to come on our podcast and rap a few verses. We know this is what they do on, like, you know, charter flights and when they're on the bus and when they're just kicking it.
In between taking pictures of each other sleeping.
Yeah, in between. Yeah. Yep, in between doing that.
Yeah.
And tweeting their own dunks over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, hey, why not get these guys? You know, we're basically a studio. Me and this Toshiba laptop.
Mm-hmm. There's a microphone somewhere in this thing we're screaming at.
Yep,
for sure.
It's studio quality.
Yeah.
So come on here and spit some rhymes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spit some rhymes.
No doubt.
That's what the kids are calling it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. I hope they are. Yeah, absolutely. Rhyming sentences about to fucking come upon your ears.
World B Freestyling. I'm just gonna say that again because I really like that.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Sure. No, yeah. World B Freestyling is about to happen right now.
Right now, and for the so this is every Clipper ever in the history of the organization is here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's not just current Clippers.
This is that gigantic room we're sitting in, and there are just a lot of tall people here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're looking pretty svelte and ready to drop down.
Yep. No, Paul Davis has really let himself go. He's like 650 pounds.
Yeah.
But his voice is like pure Luther Vandross.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been. So.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. Paul Davis, Luther Vandross voice.
All right, let's start maybe with, can we hear some Caron Butler?
Yeah.
All right, Caron. Do you need some music?
Yeah, I think the beat helps.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. All right.
Hey, Dad.
All right, we got some after a brief some technical difficulties. We got a beat here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hear Caron Butler lay down some rhymes.
Yo. Ron Butler. Fucking house. They call me Tough Juice. About to drop a deuce. No, I'm not gonna poop. I'm gonna put this ball in the hoop.
Oh!
What up? From mid-range like Danny Ainge, it's gonna be all cash. And yes, you're gonna wanna ash up off your blunt because I'm in the hunt for best. I'm not actually in the hunt for best small forward. Yeah, I'm probably gonna need another word to finish that sentence. Cron out.
Yeah! Fuck yeah! Oh shit. Damn.
Yeah.
You destroyed Kobe on that track.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
No problem.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
What,
yeah,
so,
no.
If you had to compare your flow, Karan, to another rapper,
ooh,
what kind of was your inspiration?
You know, probably a combination like Young Jeezy and Richie Fromm, I would say. You know, Richie Fromm, just that's my inspiration, dog.
Nice.
The show.
All right. Maybe we'll get another clipper to the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do... let's see. Yaroslav Korolev. Yaroslav. Cool. All right. You ready, Yaroslav?
Yes.
All right, Yaroslav.
My name is Yaroslav. I've got a game you're gonna love. I make many baskets, and yes, I've got an ass kit to fuck your girlfriend. Yeah, she loves my accent. I ask her where her back went, and then it went towards me. Yeah, I got a 4Z. I drive a Honda 350Z, and it goes really fast, but now I can't make my payments because my contract ran out. It makes me wanna scream and shout. So I flew back to Russia. I'm gonna rediscover power like Prussia. Thought it was going to, but it never did. Yeah, I'm gonna put a lid upon the basket, and then I'm gonna shoot at it, and I'll never make a shot, but that's okay. Fuck the Clippers anyway.
Oh shit. No joke, you killed Karan Butler, son. You killed him.
Thank you. Oh, she visits the gremlin sometimes.
Wow, Yaroslav. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, where did you learn to rap?
I wasn't practicing my basketball, I'll tell you that.
I think, so Dunleavy obviously must have heard you spit rhymes.
Oh, that's the thing that Clippers fans do not understand. Mike Dunleavy makes the fattest beats, man, the fattest fucking beats. He can't drop a play, but god dang, man, yeah. you hear Mike Dunleavy beats in the studio and just, and your heart and your blood, it becomes just, oh, I'm fire.
Little known fact, the Black Bar Mitzvah, Rick Ross, that was all produced by Mike Dunleavy.
Oh, Dunleavy, I mean, little known fact, I don't know, I feel poor introducing this to the world here, but Rick Ross, Mike Dunleavy,
might be the same person.
Not so different is all I will say. You know, not so different. Many the same things about them in terms of who they sleep with, drugs they do, money they make. You know, these things very comparable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, maybe we got time for one more clipper.
I think so.
All right, one more. I don't know what's gonna top Yaroslav.
Impossible to top Yaroslav. Impossible. Cannot top Yaroslav.
Damn. Yaroslav straight killed that. Jesus. So, man, that shit with the lid up.
Yeah, dude. No, Yaroslav fucking dude, muse, dude.
Fucking yeah, Yaroslav fucking...
is the muse, yo.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Thanks, dude.
Jesus. Thanks. Okay, let's restart this beat. Our last clipper coming to the mic. Let's do Can we get some Tim Thomas?
Yeah.
Asking
for trouble.
Yeah, Tim Thomas is asking for trouble.
Asking for trouble.
Can we do... Let's do Dan Dickow.
Let's do Dan Dickow.
Come on, Dan. All okay. right. Come on to the mic. All right, you hear Dan?
Yep.
What you been up to, Dan? First off, before I drop this beat that Dunleavy produced.
Oh man, things have been going really well for me. I started doing some volunteer work. I was actually teaching English in Korea for a little while.
Was that the Chosungalbi Fellowship?
That was you've heard of it?
For Clipper point guards.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Chosungalbi offers a fellowship for incredibly unskilled basketball players.
That is a little harsh, but I mean,
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was named after you, right?
It was
Dan Dickow Fellowship for people who can't play basketball.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, I don't
you,
know.
I believe Adam Morrison.
Was on it. Me, Adam Morrison. Pretty much everybody who went to Gonzaga ever was able to latch on this fellowship.
Brevin Knight, actually, also.
Brevin Knight is my boy. Shout out to Brevin.
Shout out to Brevin Knight for sure.
I'll see you at the math competition, dog.
Every shitty Clippers point guard. Obviously, Adam Morrison's not a Clippers point guard, but just shitty enough that he qualified for the fellowship anyway.
Absolutely.
So that's great. So what have you been... So you've been teaching kids in Korea?
I've been teaching kids in Korea and also really been trying to expand my drug empire. It's one step at a time. You know, you gotta start small, but... You know, it's really about establishing a certain credential in the streets, and I really feel like I've made significant strides towards that, and just things have been going well for me. The beef in the streets is minimal. I would say
Vin Baker's crew.
I mean, yeah, Vin gives me a little bit of trouble, but you know, at the end of the day, that guy's a straight up bitch. So freaking, Vin. Yeah, you heard it here first. Vin Baker's a straight up bitch, dog. So freaking, yeah. So I don't know, that's just straight, that's the truth. That's just what Dan Dickow says, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dan Dickow refers to himself in the third person.
Dan Dickow refers to himself any goddamn way he wants to refer to himself. It's fucking, it's my world, yeah.
For the record, Dan Dickow just pulled out a handgun and shoved it to my head.
Yeah.
But you know what he did? He tried to shoot it at me and he missed.
Yeah.
By about 15
just
feet.
Just a little bit, it rimmed out, dog. Uh-huh. Rimmed
and then
out.
He turned over the gun and now I have it.
Yeah, but I'll still beat the shit out of this guy.
Why don't we get to the music, Dan?
The music is what Dan Dickow lives for.
Alright, let's drop this beat again. Here we go. Alright, Dan. Go for it.
Alright. My name is Dan Dickow. Ow, I'll make your mom say ow when I'm in her bedroom, when I'm in her tomb. Yeah, I'm freaky like that, and I'm fly like a bat. I'm in the Impala, your bitch wants to holla. As I creep down her street, I creep on this beat. I got a sawed-off shotgun, yeah, I don't have a ton of fun, but I get that money. My game is sweet like honey,
No, it's not.
I'm just a fucking robot of fucking impossible things, and yeah, I'm gonna take my wings and fly away. Fly away, Dan Dickow, fly away!
And Dan Dickow is now elevating.
Elevating! Goodbye, world! Off to the other wonderful place.
Goodbye, Dan Dickow. The sky is back, by the way.
Oh, man.
Man, how about Dan Dickow?
Dan Dickow, dude, has got some fucking lines. I'm not going to lie. Dan Dickow.
I thought Dan Dickow sucked.
Yeah, he did suck. But but he did have lines, I mean, not particularly good ones. But,
yeah.
But yeah. No, you know, I mean, Dan tried. He's still trying to
Yaroslav, though.
Yaroslav did okay. Yaroslav did all right.
Oh, Yaroslav killed it.
Yeah, yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I'm buying that fucking album as soon as it drops.
I see. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna wait for some Amazon reviews. I would say some iTunes reviews. See how the production quality is, and then maybe I'll.
You know what those reviews are gonna be? It's all gonna be Dunleavy. Right. This guy's the best rapper to come out of the EuroLeague since Dirk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
that's what we're gonna hear.
I see.
Why wait for that? Just embrace it.
That's true. All right. Well, I guess yeah. Freaking, I will put my as soon as it becomes available for download on iTunes, I will be. I'm actually gonna upgrade.
That's
my band.
Going on your walk, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna upgrade my internet connection so that I can. So that I can really, really gain all that Yaroslav has to offer me, for sure.
All
right. Yeah, man.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about on the first and probably only episode?
Of
Two Swaggy Peas in a Podcast.
I don't think there's too much more that I want to talk about at this very moment.
Is there anything you want to talk about that might be authentically Korean and perhaps 600 billion years old?
Yes, there is, and that would be fucking Joseon Galbi, the most delicious, the only place I go and really expect an authentic Korean meal at this point.
Yeah, there is nowhere else.
Oh, man.
Korea isn't even 600 billion years old. It's more authentic than Korea.
Way more authentic than Korea.
Korea is contrived as fuck. Oh,
Korea is just...
But Joseon is real.
Joseon is extremely real. I'm disillusioned by the availability of authentic Korean cuisine until 2 years ago, and then I was illusioned again.
Yeah, reillusioned.
Reillusioned.
Joseon.
Thank you, Joseon.
All right, that's it for Sky and Matt.
And Matt's freaking.
Oh, let's. I'll give out like my website and shit.
Yeah, do it.
I do comedy. I write sports comedy. Just Google Boshi's Oversized Pillow. That's a different sports comedy there. Stuff about the Dodgers and Clippers and other teams and sports. And then unemployedmatt.blogspot.com. I do comedy there.
Oh, yeah. Worth checking out the show.
Anything you want to plug out? My Twitter handle is RobotZombieArmy.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah, pretty good, huh?
Wow, pretty good indeed. If you ever want to just Google image search Brian Skinner, I'll probably be doing the same thing. So Google image search Brian Skinner, and then you'll know what I'm looking at. So, yeah, I'll see you from the
at
same
the
perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. See you guys.
Later, fools.
Please don't hate us.
Yeah. Thank you.